Welcome to the Mosh Pit on RiotRadio.ca. I'm your host and Mosh Buddy, Andrew Pearson. I'm joined here with Danny from Ashes to New. Welcome, man.
How you doing?
I'm fantastic. So this quarantine, man, this has been crazy with everything that's going on in the world. I want to kind of give me like your thoughts on like how, you know, what was going through all your guys' minds when this kind of went down.
Yeah, from early in February when we were out on tour with Skillet, we were prepared. You know, we're kind of an informed group as much as we can be, and we, you know, take precaution and we try to play things safe. So even from the beginning of that tour, which was early February, we were we had hand sanitizer all over the bus. We stopped doing like handshakes and hugs for VIP. We would have to do like elbow bumps and stuff like that.
That's great.
It seemed weird to people at first, but like the later on in the tour it got, like, that people were like expecting that. So like we were kind of early adopters with like hygiene and making sure not to catch anything. And I think it was just because we all wanted to stay healthy so that we wouldn't have to like, you know, cancel shows and stuff. So, you know, we even went through Seattle in mid-February or whatever when that breakout started to happen. I think in mid to late February, we were through all different areas and none of us got sick. So, I mean, we were prepared and as prepared as we could be. We weren't prepared mentally because the last two dates got canceled and then we went home and then it was shutdown time. So it was like, it's kind of crazy. It was happening every day that I woke up. I was like, they're going to figure something out. Like they have to, like, this, I'm sure they'll figure something out. And every day it just, you know, continued to get a little bit worse. And then I was like, oh, shit, it's really happening.
Yeah, crazy. And you guys have produced a lot of stuff. You guys are really, honestly, from the bottom of my heart, like, you guys are amazing. And I went back to school because of my name. And
that's awesome.
I want to thank you for that. And you guys are just an amazing band. Definitely have that Linkin Park, which I'm sure you guys hear all the time.
Yeah.
This song Panic, the video is out of this world, man. Like I like music videos, and that was like, man, I think I've watched it 7 times because it's just so, it's just a great video.
Yeah, it's crazy how that turned out because we started writing that. We had the concept for it, the song title itself, we had the concept for it back in May, like last year. And then, you know, we started writing for the album in September, and then the lyrics for it were written in December when we were in the studio. And so we had this whole different idea for it. It was not at all supposed to be about any of this stuff. And we would have preferred it to be that way. And like all this stuff, dude, all this stuff happened. And we were like, this is crazy. We're like, this could be good. I mean, it's so terrible at the same time, but maybe this could be good. I mean, we'd rather it be its own song. Like the song isn't about the pandemic. It's not about any of that.
Right, right.
Ended up being that way because we honestly didn't have much of a choice, but yeah, it's just insane how it all turned out. And if you've ever, I don't know if you've ever seen us live.
I saw you guys before you had actually joined the band. It was back in, I think it was back in 16. Okay. I think I saw it.
So basically our crew guys have for the last probably year and a half, 2 years, have been wearing like these like mask things, and they all had like their own little symbols on it. One of the guys had a little like zipper on it. But anyone who has come to our shows, who who has seen one or multiple of our crew guys, they've seen that they like wear that. And they do it so that they kind of don't get stopped and talked to because they're busy and they need to do the thing that, you know, that, that they're doing during the show.
Right.
And later on last year, we decided like we should update our little emoji guy and use it for this panic thing and like zip his mouth shut, kind of like you don't have a voice, right? Right. That was the idea. And we were like, let's make masks and sunglasses so that people could like become that logo and we could make an army out of our fans. And then this happened and we were like, holy shit.
Everything just kind of fit and happened for a reason, eh?
Yeah, it was nuts. I mean, we were really worried about even releasing the song just because we can't support it in any way except for online. You know, we can't go out and play shows. And so the only way to push it is just online. So we were kind of worried that we weren't going to give the song the best foot to start on. But, you know, it kind of has just worked out and the response has been insane. And, you know, there are some people who are like, oh, another, like, here we go, bands making songs about coronavirus. It's like, dude, we couldn't have planned this if we ever tried. If the song was done in December.
Right.
It was recorded, it was done. We had gone home, got ready for, you know, the next tour. And none of this ever became a thing until technically a month ago. Like, do you really think that we could have made... written, recorded a song and a video and had all these, like, just so just some people are just kind of ignorant when it comes to that stuff. But
right.
You don't know the inside details. I guess that's where your mind goes. It's like, oh, here we go. You know, it doesn't.
Yeah. And I like how you put the stuff at the beginning of the video. And then, again, man, you guys. Doing this whole thing for Crew Nation, my hat's off to you guys, honestly, because there's so many artists out there that are just, you know, they're trying to raise money, but at the same time, like, you guys are really focusing on the music industry, and me being in the MBM program, the music business program, I really honestly appreciate that.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I mean, our industry is getting hit the hardest, and that's kind of why we did it. Like, we were essentially the first to get shut down. It all happened pretty quick, but large gatherings were the first to get shut down, and that basically means we don't have jobs, and we're going to be the last to come back because that's the way things are going to open back up. It went first, you know, large gatherings are shut down, so very last, they're going to be opened up. So no one who works for venues or works for bands or festivals or anything like that, none of them are going to have jobs for who even knows how long. So that's why we wanted to aim it at that.
Cool. So we're going to that aspect. Where do you see the music industry going once you come, like how the live scene and stuff? Because I mean, it was starting to really take a big, you know, everything was live. And now it's kind of, it seems like it's going to kind of flip around a little bit where it's going to be more of the recording. What's your thoughts on that and the live, just the live industry?
So I don't think that there is anything that will ever be able to replace the live experience of music. I mean, even if VR, you know, gets to the point where you can just like put on a headset and be, it still won't be the same as physically being there. And so when this all comes back, I think you're going to see a ridiculous surge in ticket prices and events. I'm sorry, not ticket prices, attendances and events. And I think it's going to come back in a huge way. But we don't know when that's going to be, and we don't know for how long we're going to have to wait. I honestly think that the longer that it takes to come back, the bigger that surge is going to be. But either way, I think people are going to come back really, really, really strong.
Right. What are your thoughts on kind of keeping to the quarantine? What are your thoughts on the whole just – like Michigan and certain places doing these protests. What are your thoughts on that?
So, I mean, for one, I think it's terrible that there are two sides in the first place, which is bad because they're always going to be fighting, and that each side constantly paints the other side with a broad stroke brush and makes them out to be idiots. What happens is that they take the lowest hanging fruit that can't form, you know, a proper argument, that can't really rationalize their reasoning for being out there. And then they, you know, interview those people and ask them loaded questions, and then they film it and they put it out there and go, look at how dumb all of these people are based on this single individual. So, like, I personally believe, this is just my own opinion, and everybody's got their own opinions, but I think they're a little early on the protests because we knew that we were going to be shut down from March 15th until May 1st, right? So I don't think there's a cause to necessarily protest right now, but I think that if things keep getting pushed back, there's going to come a point where we're sacrificing our entire way of life and people's livelihoods, and there's going to be a ton more damage, that at some point there will have to be protests if it continues. Like, I'm in upstate New York, okay? That right. sounds right, but that's not the case. New York City is completely a different world from where I am. They have a 250,000 cases. We have 500.
Wow.
So when the governor says, oh, we're going to shut down the state for another 15 days, I'm like, May 15th, we don't even have hardly any cases. Like, we shouldn't be lumped in. So it honestly, if this is my standpoint, if it gets pushed back again, I am going to start to freak out, because that is not fair to the rest of the state that has nothing to do with downstate, that is completely a different case. You know, right. We only have 500 people. It's not even, it's like 0.2% of the population of my entire. Like, yeah. Contain that, but for us to have to be shut down an extra 15 days because 7 hours away somewhere they're having huge, you know, numbers and huge cases and all this stuff, like, that's ridiculous. So there will come a point, if it continues, that protesting will make sense. I think they're a little early right now, though.
So the quarantine videos you guys have been doing, the covers, man. Yeah. Very, very well done. Very well put together. And very interactive as well. And my question is, what made you guys decide, hey, we're gonna start doing quarantine videos? That, because a lot of people are doing live streams, live, all that kind of stuff. So, what made you guys think on that stuff?
Well, initially, because I had kind of done, like vocal covers on my own, because I enjoy doing it. And when we got home, I was like, you know, I think I'm going to do some covers while I'm home, you know, just try to push out some content. And I think that sparked an idea where we were like, let's do like full covers. Like, let's see what people want to hear. Let's try to do it in a live-like setting where, you know, we kind of track ourselves, and then we put it all together and then we release it and let's see how that does. And boy, it just, the first one we did just absolutely exploded. It was ridiculous. And so we were like, all right, let's pick another one. Let's do something, you know, from the same kind of time period, but different. And we ended up picking Bring Me to Life, which we knew would be very different. And that's exactly why we did it. Like, it was within our wheelhouse and within our genre, but obviously, vocally, it was very different, you know, male versus female, and obviously females of higher register. So we were going to try to keep it in the same key and still try to do it justice. And people loved that one. So we did another one, and we got Jen Ledger on it, and she's so awesome. She crushed it, and she's super easy to work with. And so we were like, man, let's just keep doing this. I mean, we got a song coming out in like a week, so we'll focus on that. We'll keep pushing that, and then we'll put out another one, which, if you've been paying attention, we did like a voting thing, and we're going to do Tears Don't Fall next.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be sweet.
Do vocal night, and it'll be ready, and then Matt just has to edit the video together, and then it'll be up, I think.
Yeah, man. So you guys are crazy busy, and like even being in the quarantine, like just the fact, like you guys have just been doing so much, which is great. It's awesome. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to congratulate you on being on Rock Hard, that playlist, being on the cover. That's friggin' dope, man. Like, honestly, that's really cool. And I just, before we were talking, I checked your, I checked Panic, and you guys are above 200,000 listens already. It's been like what, 3 days, 4 days now? Yeah. You guys are
like that. Yeah.
Firing it, man. So congratulations on that. What are you doing? What's your favorite thing to do outside of music? if you're not doing music.
It's a sad topic because I can't do it right now, and that's working out.
All right, right.
Yeah, I'm pretty bummed about that. I don't have any home equipment yet. I was actually planning later this year to buy stuff so that I don't have to go to the gym if I don't want to, because right. It's never to not be able to get on a machine that someone else is on. But having it on the road is always good. I like working out. I've been super hardcore about it for the past over a year straight. And then like it came to a screeching halt with this shutdown. And I didn't really even think that it would go as far as like all the businesses being shut down. So like I wasn't prepared at all. I got home on the 15th and everything was shut down. And it was like no gym, no nothing. I was like, what the hell am I going to do? Like I've worked so hard. I've gotten my physique to a point where I was like, super happy. I'd never been so fit in my life, and I was like, I'm gonna slowly turn into a mashed potato.
Oh man, that's crazy.
Outside of music, that and basketball, two things that I just can't do. So I'm kind of just sitting at home working on the band, responding to people, doing these covers, and and when we released that merch drop, I was calling people for like 8 hours straight. So
yeah, I saw that. That's crazy, man.
I was on the phone from 5 p.m. until 1:30 a.m. and then again the next day from like noon to 2 or 3 or something like that.
That, again, is another thing that you guys are, that's awesome. It's awesome that you guys actually did that for the fans. And, you know, you guys are trying to keep engaged. And I think that's amazing.
Really good time to show, I don't want to say the weak from the strong, but the bands that work hard versus the bands that are just kind of coasting, you know? And we pride ourselves on working hard. So we're doing the covers, we're releasing the song, dropping the merchandise, you know, calling fans, responding to people. We're taking this as an opportunity, you know? Everything's shut down and everyone's online. So this is a great opportunity to be able to get, you know, as many new fans as possible and to reignite some old fans. So I think this is a great time to separate, you know, the really hard workers from the bands that are just kind of coasting along, and the people that you see active are the ones that are, you know, working hard.
So one more question and then we'll get out of here. I don't want to take up too much of your time. I know you're crazy busy with everything. So mental health, you guys, a lot of your music goes towards that kind of stuff, and like my name is, you know, like people telling you you can't do it, and people telling you there's nothing there. What are your thoughts on just mental health and what you guys do to try and stay healthy mentally?
Well, it's very cliche, but it's very true, is that you can do anything that you want to do in this world. And it all matters on how bad you want it and how driven you are. And the people who are the outside noise saying that you suck or that you can't do it, that is their own limiting beliefs that come from their own life. That is a, you know, buried trauma maybe of some kind that is the reason why they can't do what they want in their life. Because anybody who's happy and is successful in their own eyes and just doesn't do that kind of stuff, they don't feel a need to tear other people down. So the outside noise is always noise that is coming from someone else because of their own situation or their own feelings or whatever. And it has nothing to do with the person it's being said to. They're just spewing their own frustrations. So that doesn't make it easy to navigate through that, because it's really easy to see a bunch of negative comments or to be told over and over and over and over again that you can't do something or that you're a failure or whatever. So that's where our music comes into play, because we're susceptible to all of that too. You know, there's plenty of times that people have, you know, said all sorts of awful things about me just because, you know, I'm not the original singer and all this other stuff. So like, it just comes to a point where like you get used to the noise for one or two, you know, you just ignore it and know that you're working hard and that you're just going to keep climbing and pushing and that you're doing it for yourself and for no one else, you know. Obviously we do it for our fans as well, but you know, deep down, this was something, a journey that I personally started just to make music and follow a passion of mine. And then along the way, it, you know, became meaningful to a bunch of other people. So now it's me and all these people and my bandmates, of course, as well, and all these people that care about the music. And anyone out there can create something like that. You know, you can start something that you're very passionate about, you know, yourself, and then it can become something so much bigger. But at the end of the day, you know, it's your passion and your drive and all that stuff. And you've got to just try to do your best to lock out all of those negative comments and all the negative emotions, because they don't just always come from the outside. They do come from the inside too. Thoughts are in there because of the outside noise, but you know, sometimes you can be your own worst enemy. And like, there's been a couple times throughout this quarantine that, you know, I've had like meltdowns almost, where, you know, I had thoughts about the band and about what I was doing with my life and like all this stuff. Like, this quarantine is really showing like weak points in all of our lives. And, you know, it can really suck when it's happening, but it's a really good thing because you can see what you maybe need to work on. So the mental health game, yeah, it's a big thing, and it's always going to be an ongoing journey and struggle and stuff like that. And the best advice I can give people is to just do their best to not get overwhelmed, especially by outside noise, and also to just be kind to yourself, because you've got to live with yourself your whole life. And if you're not going to treat yourself well, then you're always going to have that feeling in there of incompetence or feeling like a failure. And at the end of the day, we're all failures. That's what makes people successful, you know? That's Michael. I succeed because I fail. Like, because I fail, and I have failed so many times, that is why I succeed. Gary Vee says the same stuff too. And it's like, we've just got to stay strong through all that life throws at us.
100%. You should be a motivational speaker, man.
I can talk for hours about it, man. It's, you know, to be 100% honest with you, you know, when I was growing up, I was not a smart kid. I struggled a lot. I couldn't focus. I had all these different problems, and then music came into my life. And for a lot of people, music saves their lives for, you know, one reason or another. And I felt like the reason that music saved my life was because it fixed my brain. You know, I still have some ADD tendencies, you know, as any creative person pretty much does. But, you know, I started playing music so much, and over time, and I didn't realize this till much later, but over time it really repaired my brain and made it work more efficiently. I didn't really find it out until later on that I was like, wow, school really got easier as I got older and I continued to play instruments, to the point where I got to 10th, 11th, and 12th grade and I just wouldn't do homework. I would just do the classwork, ace the tests and ace the finals and not give a shit. And I realized that, you know, all these studies came out about how practicing an instrument and playing musical instruments is like a full body workout for your brain. I was like, oh my God, like that makes all the sense in the world. Like music saved my freaking life because I don't know how I would have been able to function without that strength training in my head over and over and over, hours and hours and hours every day for months and years. So yeah, it's just all really crazy, you know, how some things work out. I don't even know why I got on this tangent, but yeah.
It's a good tangent. So yeah, I mean, same for myself. Linkin Park was actually, in the end, got me through a lot of hard times. And your music, again, like The Future, that album, that was just before I was starting school, and it made me realize to, you know, just do it. Just follow my heart, follow my passion, like you were just saying. And you know, and that's what I did. And I've just finished my second year. I've got one more year left. And nice. you know, being 40 years old, it's like it's one of those things where it's like, you know, I'm so glad that I did what I did. So thank you. Thank you guys, honestly, for creating this music, because this music is
our pleasure.
You guys have amazing music. It's real good stuff.
One thing I say to people whenever they thank us and you know have a story to share with us about overcoming something is for one, like, it's crazy, but so many people get scared to take a leap of faith. And the ones that do almost always find out that, like, it was the best thing that could have happened to them. But more so, like, that is all you. And that is all that, like, we might have been there music-wise, but, like, you're the one who received it. You're the one who put it into action. You're the one who put in the hard work. So at the end of the day, you should honestly thank yourself above everyone else and anyone who helped you along the way, of course. But thank yourself, you know, because you were open to receiving something and making a change and bettering your life. So that's all you. And a lot of people don't give themselves credit.
Yeah. Okay. So this wraps up the show. Again, I appreciate you coming on and doing this with me from New York. Really appreciate that. Again, I know you guys are crazy busy, and you know, even though you're in the quarantine, you guys are producing stuff like that, doing all those videos and stuff. Go check out Panic. This video is one of the best videos I've seen. Check out their song Panic. Follow from Ashes to New. Fantastic guys. Again, I appreciate you sitting here chatting with me and taking the time out of your day, Danny. Good luck in the future with everything. You guys are rock stars, honestly. In my mind, in my heart, you guys are rock stars. So again, I honestly appreciate this. So yeah, check out the Mosh Pit